In addition to being Mother's Day, this is the Sunday when we celebrate the ascension of the Lord. Jesus finishes his earthly journey, his ministry complete. With the death and resurrection, he is done. He gathers his disciples and ascends into heaven to sit at the right hand of God and leaves his disciples here in this world. This world that tormented, berated, condemned, arrested, beat, and killed Jesus. This world that values greed and avarice, cruelty and power. This world that places the haves over the have-nots and says that that is right and normal. This world that feeds on hate and war, on death and destruction. This world Jesus leaves his followers in as he ascends to what comes next. His followers see him go. They watch him ascend into heaven, and they are left here to do whatever it is that comes next. In the 17th chapter of John, our scripture this morning, we hear Jesus praying for his disciples prior to the ascension. And he refers to their place in the world as he does. He says, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. Recognizing that his disciples came from this world. They were fishermen. They were tax collectors. They were laborers. They were yours, he says, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, Jesus says, but I ask you to protect them. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. We are left, as Jesus ascends, we are left in the world, but we are not of the world. It's a tension that we have existed in for 2,000 years. We are caught here in the now, but we are destined for the not yet. We are bound on this earth, but we pray weekly for the kingdom come. We are left in the world, but we are not of the world. It's a tension that arises because we are called to have different values than the world's values. We are called to have a different focus, to have a different perspective. While we are in the world, we are called to be a small piece of the kingdom that is coming. Existing in the now, but really with our spirits planted firmly in the not yet. Paul understood this when he wrote his letters. Paul existed in this tension, ministering in the now to the churches all around the Mediterranean, but with his heart set on the not yet. Paul writes his letters as someone who believes with all his heart, with all his spirit, that Jesus is coming back today. And if not today, then tomorrow. And he writes each letter with that anticipation, with that hope. It's a dynamic that frustrates us, I think, that stymies us, that confuses us. For 2 millennia, we have strived to be the church, the people of God, called to follow Jesus in a world that killed him, believing in something more than just this. We spoke yesterday at Jane Beaver's funeral about a place called Tomorrow, one of Jane's final pieces of wisdom that she gave to me. She said, there's a place called Tomorrow, and that is our hope. Not in this world with its failings and struggles, but in a place called Tomorrow. Anytime my daughter's having a bad day, I mean a really bad day, she oversleeps and misses her class. She doesn't get something turned in. She's late for work. She makes a mistake at work. She comes home and she feels like today has just been an abysmal disaster. I often tell her, it's okay. You get to try again tomorrow. That's where our hope and our spirit lies, is that no matter how roughed up this life gets, no matter how tough this struggle might be, no matter how many different ways I can find to screw today up, I know that there's a tomorrow. That is our hope. That is what our strife, what our faith strives for. That this is not all there is, that there is more. The tomorrow, the kingdom come, the not yet. But that is not where we find ourselves. Jesus ascends into heaven, and we find ourselves here. In the today, in the now, in the world. For some time, the church proclaimed itself to be in the world, but not of the world. The idea was supposed to set us apart. We were supposed to have different values and perspectives and goals. We were supposed to stand out in the world. We should look different. We should act different. We should sound different. The world should see us and notice our difference. The world should see us and be perplexed, be curious. Why are they different? What makes them different? But instead, this idea of being in the world and not of the world, instead, we use this idea of being caught between the now and the not yet to separate ourselves, to withdraw from the world, to isolate ourselves. Instead of standing in the now, in the here, in the world and being a beacon of grace and hope, too often we simply withdrew to our own bubble, to our own insulated space. And we waited. Waited for the not yet. Waited for the kingdom come. Waited for tomorrow. Rather than standing in the world and proclaiming another way, God's way, Jesus' way as the alternative to what the world offered, instead we became like people sitting in the waiting room. In that corner chair, simply looking at our magazine, not making eye contact or conversation with anyone, just waiting for our name to be called. So we can go on to our appointment with destiny. That's what matters, not this waiting area. So we focused on what comes next, on the not yet, on the tomorrow, and we simply bided our time until it comes. But that is not what Jesus meant for us to do. When Jesus left us and ascended into heaven, he was not leaving us to wait, to simply twiddle our thumbs until he comes again. Jesus left us to be his hands and feet in this place. Jesus left us with purpose, with reason, with mission, with ministry, with a job to do. Jesus left us to be in the world, but not of it. To be in the now while we strive for the not yet. To be here today, knowing in our hearts there's a place called tomorrow. Jesus left us to be his disciples, to live our lives as he lived his life. He was also in the world, but not of it. He was also here in this tension between the now and the not yet. And he left us to continue what he had started. This past week, I had the opportunity, I won 2 free movie tickets to go see Deadpool 2 early. It doesn't open until next weekend, but I got 2 passes to go see it this week because I'm good like that. It's one of those comic book movies that I like, that you're sitting there silently hoping I don't describe in detail. I won 2 tickets to go see it early, so I took my daughter with me. She's a big Deadpool fan. There was a caveat, though. In order to fill the movie theater, they had given out more passes than they had seats because they wanted the place to be packed. So if you wanted to see the movie, you had to show up early and wait. The movie started at 3:30 in the afternoon. I showed up at 2 o'clock. I was not the first person there. There were about 50 people in front of me. But I was confident there were more than 50 seats in the movie theater, so I was good. I had my spot in line. So I nestled down in my spot with an hour and a half to kill. I needed something to do. I was just waiting. So I pulled out my phone and I started to watch the first Deadpool movie just to remind myself of how good it was. And I looked around at the other people in line. Weirdos. Middle of the afternoon, these people sitting in the movie theater go see this stupid movie. There was one guy, Lacey, he was back. He got there after I was five or six people back. I noticed he had a Deadpool t-shirt on. I was glancing around, I noticed it. My daughter didn't get there when I got there. She got there about 2:30 or so. When she got there, there was many more people in line. There was about 100 people in line. She came to where our spot was in line, and as she stood there, she said, "Hey, I really like that guy's Deadpool t-shirt." And I said, "There's a lot of Deadpool t-shirts. You're going to have to be more specific." And she's like, I was like, "There's something wrong with your neck? What are you doing?" She's like, "That guy, the guy with the eye patch." And I looked, and it was the same guy I noticed earlier with the t-shirt. And I turned to my daughter and I said, "I swear by all that's holy, 30 minutes ago, he did not have an eye patch on." And I was perplexed. Where did the eye patch come from? Did he find it in his pocket and just think, "I've been looking for that"? I wasn't sure. Right? I had nothing else to do. I've just been waiting and waiting. But when Abby got there, our dynamic changed a little bit. Now, there were two of us waiting. Now we could do some stuff. Before, it was just me. I just had to wait. I was the only one there. Now there were two of us. One person could hold our spot in line. The other person could go do stuff. So I told Abby, I said, "We need to know when the doors are going to open." She went and asked. The doors were going to open at 3:15. It was about 10 till 3, so we had some time, maybe 25 minutes or so. So I said, "You wait here. I'm going to go use the restroom, and I'm going to go get concessions." So I went to the restroom. I go to the concession area. Nobody's in the concession area. So I get my 55-gallon drum of popcorn. I get some waters. I go up to pay for them. I go back to get in line. And the guy behind us in line, who has heard our conversation, who knows we're not going to open the doors till like 3:15, he said, "Hey, is there a line for concessions?" I said, "There's nobody there. You can walk right up front and pay." He said, "Excellent. I'm going to go get my stuff." And he leaves line. He's with three other people. He tells them, "I'm going to go get something real quick." And he gets out of line, and he walks down the hallway, and he turns the corner out of sight, and they open the doors to let us in. His group tells me he has the passes. And they're not sure what to do. I picked up my drum of popcorn. And I turned to Abby and I said, "I have the best timing in the world. That guy, not so much. But me, great timing." It illustrates, I think, what happens to Christians a lot. We're waiting and waiting and waiting for that elusive kingdom of God to come on earth as it is in heaven. We wait and wait and wait, and we become so preoccupied with waiting for what comes next, for tomorrow, for the not yet, that we fail to act in the now. The poor guy behind me had been there almost as long as I had, and well on an hour at that point. He could have gone to got concessions at any point. He was with a group of people. They would have held his spot. But he waited, and he waited, and he waited. He did make it back to them before they walked in. They did get seats. I'll tell you that. I know I don't finish stories a lot. You guys come up to me. What happened to that guy? His friends beat him up for being stupid. That's right. No, he made it. He caught back up to him. But I think it illustrates what happens to us sometimes. We're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And we fail to act. We fail to make the most of today. We miss our opportunities, our possibilities, our chances to impact this world, to stand out in this world, to change this world. We're here now, in this moment, in this today, as the disciples of Jesus Christ, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, consecrated in God's mission. And what do we do with it? We wait. Or do we set about being a peace of the kingdom of God. Being grace and love and forgiveness and hope in our human interactions, in our human relationships, in our daily journey. Instead of just wasting and waiting and wasting time, we're called to be in this world, not of this world, but to stand against the values of this world with something else, with something better, with something right. We're called to be that light shining on a hill, showing another way, God's way. Not just waiting for our tickets to get punched and for our chance to go on to tomorrow, to the not yet, but to bring a piece of it here today. This tension we exist in is a chance for us to change someone's life, to show them caring when they've only encountered spite, to show them grace when they've only encountered greed, to show them love when they've only encountered hate. Called to this place, this here and now, not to wait for the next, but to bring about a piece of the next, to be in this world, but of God, to be in this world, but of Christ, to be in this world, but of the Spirit, that people might see the light of Jesus shining through us into their darkness, that people might see what could be. There is a next for us, a tomorrow that waits just beyond the sunrise. And we hope and we pine for that day when we're reunited with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in his kingdom. But that glory is not yet. And while we wait, there is much to do. Come, church, let us go forth today to be in this world. This world that God created. This world that God loved so much, he sent his only son for it. Let us go forth and be in this world, not of it, not accepting its values and norms, but let us be in it, shining the light of Christ for all to see in all we do, in all we say, in all we are.